The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Spirit drove Jesus into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days. Tempted by Satan, he was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. This is a time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So now, even though the gospel reading this evening is very short, nevertheless, it contains 9/10 of everything that Jesus came to tell us about and to preach about. And the Gospel of Mark, which we have read from this evening, was the last of the Gospels. So he didn't actually repeat the temptations that Jesus went through. He just mentioned them. And he summed them up very neatly by saying that Jesus went out into the desert and he was among the wild beasts. Now, that's interesting, because at the time, we know from history and research that at the time of Christ in Palestine, there were no wild beasts. So the wild beast is a figure of speech. And the wild beasts are what we would nowadays call our demons. Now you can see where that comes in. Now I want to very quickly point out to you what we have done with the teaching of Jesus. First and foremost, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is now. The kingdom of God is now. God is always in the now. Now, what have we done? We have interpreted all the teaching of Jesus and all the things he did as some kind of an evacuation plan for the next world. And it's not. Jesus did not come to tell us how to get to heaven. And that might come as a surprise. He did not come to tell us how to save our souls, save our skins, and get to heaven. He taught us how to live in this world. And to the extent that if you're not in heaven now, you never will be. Now that's a pretty big statement to make. Heaven begins here. Heaven begins here. And Jesus kind of taught us how to live at peace and in joy, and how to attain real peace, joy, and happiness. Here, not just hereafter. Not just hereafter. Because by the very definition, eternal life doesn't begin when you die, because we are in eternal life now. And if we're not in eternal life now, then the whole idea of eternal life is meaningless, because eternal, no beginning, no end. Fascinating thought that, because we have been in existence from all eternity. How do I say that? Well, we've always been in the mind of God from all eternity. So you can look at the person beside you and you can truly say that person is immortal, because we have an immortal soul. So the real me, the true me, was always in the mind of Christ. Now, going back very briefly to the temptations of Jesus, look again. Think of that word, temptation. By association of ideas, what do most people immediately think? Temptation, sex. Right or wrong? Temptation, sex. And what have we done in the church? We've ignored 9/10 of Jesus' teaching and we have become obsessed with sex. Because as a priest here in confessions for nearly 54 years, I've never yet had I anybody come in and say, I broke the 10th commandment. I think most people don't even know what the 10th commandment is. I've never broken the 10th commandment. But we are totally into sex, whether you like it or not. And I know it might be an unusual thing to say, Jesus was never into sex. In fact, Jesus said, sinners and prostitutes are getting into the kingdom of God before you. So what Jesus was totally human. And that's the other thing we did. We made him divine. Jesus went through everything that you and I go through. And so when Jesus was out in the desert alone, not necessarily in the desert, but alone, and had to face his own demons, look into his own heart and soul, the real temptations were what we call the three P's. The three P's. Anybody know what those are? The three P's. They are the real sins. Power, prestige, possessions. Now think about that. Power, prestige, possessions. Look at, when we look at what's happening in the world today, look at all the abuse of power, the misuse of power. It's happening everywhere. Now come closer home, look into our own lives, and I got to look at my life too, how much I like to be in control. You probably all know somebody who is a control freak. You might even be married to one. People who want to be in control, hang on to things, won't let go. We see it happening every day of our lives. How difficult it is to give up control, power. And somebody said, the real definition of suffering, the real pain, is when you're not in control. When you're not in control. When you get news of some illness or something wrong and there's nothing you can do about it. That's the real suffering and the real pain. Prestige, pride. I'm better than anybody else. How we denigrate people when we look at them. How judgmental we can be. How much we worry about how we appear in other people's eyes. Always worried about that. We worry about maybe where we live, how we speak, how we look. People are just obsessed sometimes with that. And then the real one, in some ways, possessions. Possessions. And that leads to one of the worst sins of all, greed. How come that enough is never enough? I think that's true of most people. More wants more, absolutely true. So many people are never satisfied with what they have. They have to want more and more and more. And when you look at some of the richest people in the world, and they're still dedicated to making money, what is it about? Because the time is going to come and you got to leave it. You can't take it with you. And I am one of the wealthiest people you've ever met. I am, because I have my health. I'm 77 years of age, and I have my health. And no matter how much money anybody has, they can't buy their health. Huh? So I am wealthy. And if you have your health, you are wealthy. That's the real wealth. And if you have peace in your heart, if you have joy in your soul, you are wealthy. So don't look for wealth in the wrong place. And that's what most people spend their life doing. If I had more money, I'd be really, really happy. No, you wouldn't. You honestly wouldn't, because you'd want more. You really would. You would want more. And more would never be enough. Yeah? More would never be enough. You'd want more and more and more all the time. There is a lot to be considered in the gospel this evening. And isn't it interesting that at the beginning of Lent, that's where we're asked to focus. Not about giving up things, but to focus on that. I mean, a lot of people give up things for Lent. And I remember when I was a kid in Ireland, there was a great competition. What have you given up for Lent? And what have you given up for Lent? And one guy, oh, I've given up the drink. Oh, wonderful. Until St. Patrick's Day, and then I go on a full week bender. Now, that kind of attitude, it's like, and this is a true story, an Irishman emigrates to New York, and being a typical Irishman, as soon as he gets to New York, he looks for a nice little Irish pub, and he finds it, and so a couple of times during the week on his way home for work, he goes in to have a drink. And whenever he goes into the bar, he always orders three drinks, three beers, he says to the bartender. And then sometimes he say, can I have three more beers, please? He always ordered in threes. So this fascinated the bartender. So he asked him one evening, come, he says, why do you always order three beers? The Irishman said, well, he says, I tell you why. Before I left home, I have two brothers at home on the farm, and we each made a promise to one another that whenever we had a drink, we'd have a drink for one another. Oh, beautiful, says the bartender. What a lovely, lovely thought. And so that went on for a while. And then finally he came in one day and he said, two beers, please. And the bartender gave him his two beers. And he said, can I have two more beers, please? And the bartender gave him two more beers. And then he came over and he said to him, I'm very sorry, he said. See, you've lost one of your brothers. Has one of your brothers died? And the Irishman said, oh, no, he said, nothing like that. You see, he said, it's Lent, and I always give up drinking for Lent. See? The warped way we can think. But Jesus is telling us today the real thing. The real thing we ought to be doing is looking at our, have a look into your soul and see what possesses you and what occupies most of your time and where your heart truly lies.